Hello and welcome to your annual slash weekly dose of the latest sustainability fun news, facts and reviews brought to you by the Green Elephant. This week, are you as confused as me that I'm playing the news anchor for the show? We look back at the sustainability news of 2020 month by month. We find out if we have a podcast review winner, and I get to channel my inner DJ. Joining me to discuss these on the other side of the conversation for a change is Mike. A glad 2020 is nearly over greeting to you, Mike.
Yes, I'm feeling slightly uncomfortable sitting on this side of things. I'm not quite sure. I feel a bit squeamish. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen.
Now you know how I feel every time.
Okay.
My once a year try. Also, a different set of features coming up. There's a recommendation recap, a challenge checkup, and of course, a 2020 fact or fake.
Oh, good.
So the big news stories from the year... What a year this was, Mike, yeah. And looking yeah. back on the big news stories for just this year really shows that we need to focus some more on profit and less on profit and more on people and planet.
Yeah.
We've picked out 12 months of world news to review, but first let's set the scene. What 1919 ended with was UK with a new prime minister
yeah.
in Boris Johnson. Donald Trump was just facing impeachment. The Brexit yeah. conversation.
Whatever happened to Donald Trump, eh?
I think he's going to permanently camp out in the White House.
Okay.
Lest he get immediately arrested when he leaves at the end. We had Brexit, didn't we? Oh, dominating UK, but that's yeah. impacting across Europe. And then yep. throughout the world, environmental protests were taking place more and more. But horrifically, we found that 212 activists had been killed taking a stand in environmentalism.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's 1919. What did 2020 kick off with then, Mike?
Well, I think there was a story about the worst outbreak of locusts to hit Africa in 70 years. And that was the
there
big
was
one
that.
In January. But there was also a small hidden story which was to emerge this year, which was that the World Health Organization declared a public health emergency.
Oh, right.
With the emergence of a little-known virus in China called the coronavirus. And,
in Wuhan, I remember that.
What a story that was to
kind of
turn the world upside
out.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Hasn't been much about that one since, has there, really?
Not really. It certainly knocked Brexit off the top of the headlines, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I do remember vividly it getting a couple of minor news items, and we watched some NHK Japanese news at home, and it got, you know, bottom of the billing there. Kind of knew it was happening in kind of November, December time, but you know, just assumed it would stay in the Far East, and that would be it.
Like the last SARS did and the last big coronavirus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, February brought us Australian wildfires, which devastated the south of the country. I was horrified when I was recapping this to find that 33 people, at least 33 people died.
Yeah.
But 1 billion animals are estimated to have died in
That's
these wildfires
fake.
In February. Unfortunately, it's a fact. Yeah. Or an estimated fact.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was in February that those wildfires started to come to an end when it started to rain. But those have been going on through an extraordinarily hot Australian season.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I guess by the time we got to March, you know, coronavirus continues, swept across Asia, Europe, Italy, and then, you know, the rest of the world. And we started going into a major recession as the world locked down life, really.
If you look at the stocks, locals, any of the stock markets, it's just this day in March when lockdown started to occur that it just fell off a cliff, didn't it? The stock values, it was horrendous. And then April, I tried to pick out a few stories that were missed in the mess, so to speak, because it was just a messy time. Mm. There was unusually dry weather that led to forest fires around Chernobyl. Did you hear about that one?
No, I didn't.
No, funny that. It went into the exclusion zone of Chernobyl. Now, of course, when things burn...
Put that out, yeah.
Yeah, well, nobody wanted to go anywhere near it to put it out. Not only that, it started to head towards a nuclear establishment, which isn't good in any book. And on top of that, of course, it was burning highly radiated plant life. and what was being distributed was smoke with yep. those radiated particles. And so it started to spread radiation. There was also a big campaign. I'd missed this one. Socially distanced citizens took to the streets of Israel protesting against their Prime Minister Netanyahu and severe government corruption.
Okay, so did they do a everybody was 2 meters apart in their protest? Yeah. That's yeah. very organized, isn't it?
And to be honest, it was probably, when we get on later in the year, it's probably a how to do a protest how during lockdown.
protest lockdown. But yeah, in May, really big story this year, and, yes. and particularly amongst the online social media communities. George Floyd was killed by police in Minneapolis, which, you know, bolstered and kind of gave massive rise to Black Lives Matter social movement. And yeah. we saw all sorts of demonstrations, and those demonstrations continue now. We get them before, you know, sports matches. So that, you know, happened in May, but we're still feeling the effects of that one.
I was quite surprised, again, when I looked at this Black Lives Matter. I kind of assumed that Black Lives Matter came out of the event, but it'd been going for 7 years. And it's really had that bolstered towards. And, of course, it's spurred on this whole argument about people using the phrase all lives matters. And I saw one the other day, which was truckers lives matters. I found that a little bit galling, if you know what I mean.
Truckers being oppressed in some way that we don't know about.
I did, yeah. And it did kind of feel like, I know somebody started it in a joke, but sometimes you don't get the joke when it's been shared that much. June, we had the horrific Trumpism of him deciding to withdraw the US from the 2015 Paris Agreement. And his words were, and I quoted it specifically, "It will undermine the US economy. Making America great," I use the word, and that's great spelled G-R-A-T-E, not well, the other way. What a guy.
I often think this about people from different backgrounds and different cultures. It's so hard to sometimes understand where, you know, other people's positions. And so in the most part, try to listen to those positions and understand them and take them on board and not just dismiss them out of hand. But I think we do understand Trump's position and his background and where he's come from, and we can't understand why he's saying the things he's saying. I mean, it's just,
well, the only thing I can think of is, it again, it'll undermine the US economy. It's all about the money. Yeah. And it's all about the money. He doesn't care about the planet and the people.
But it will be about the money when the planet's gone and the people, you know, can't earn a living anywhere. It'll come back to the money.
Yeah, it will.
But anyway, all is right with the world, because in July, the Green Elephant podcast launched.
Woo!
and on our mission to bring sustainable fun to our listeners. And obviously that's still going. Captain Tom Moore got a knight bachelor, a knighthood for raising £32.8 million. And now has the Captain Tom Foundation for walking around his garden.
Yeah, just 100 laps by the time he was 100. Yeah, I comment on the Knight Bachelor. It was quite an interesting, it was quite specific. There's knighthoods where you're knighted into a chapter, but bachelors aren't in a chapter of knights, which tends to go to a lot of entertainment people. But I mean, he was very well rewarded for what was an amazingly uplifting event that he did. So that was good. August, we celebrated becoming a B Corporation certificated company.
Was that 5 months ago? Wow.
Already 5 months, that much closer to our difficult re-certification. But on the downside, and probably because of hearing the news about us being a B Corp, you might have missed out on some of these disasters. There were floods and landslides in India, horrific floods and landslides in India. Hurricanes hit the US in the mid-Atlantic and the Northeast, then Iowa, then there were storms in the Caribbean and the southern states. It was a litany, absolute raft of stories on storms in the US. And then, of course, we had California started their wildfire season, and we had flash flooding in Afghanistan.
And when you when you put it all together, you kind of go, wow, this stuff happened. But as we were covering these things each week, it sort of said, oh, well, here's a story here in isolation. Here's a story there in isolation. And
yeah,
in retrospect, you see there were a lot of stories all together.
Yeah. And all telling the story that the weather systems are changing.
Yeah.
In
September, China joined the climate party in a big way and pledged to become carbon neutral by 2060, which was kind of good news. Not so great, though, was that COVID-19 crossed the 1 million death marks worldwide. So,
Yeah, no way you can dress that one up. That's a dreadful statistic. But the China news was great because previously they said stuff
opted out. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd opted out, but now they've come back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
In October, interesting one, they had this nest of murder hornets, these 2-inch or 10 centimeter long, long hornets that are found in the usually in Asia, but they've been made their way across to the US. And they found a hive which contained 500 live specimens, of which 200 of them were queens.
Yeah.
So huge, I mean, a great story for the insect nation, because they can certainly, you know, not close to extinction, but these things that just kill, you can't rely on.
Just the changing biodiversity, and these things, you know, they're not meant to be in that ecosystem, and now they are. It's problematic. Good news in November, our friends in America did a good thing, and Joe Biden became the US president-elect, and amongst his initial announcements and pledges were $2 trillion to tackle climate change, and obviously rejoining the Paris Agreement. So really, really good stuff.
That lasted well.
But at the same time, the storm Gatti dumps a year of rain on Somalia in 24 hours. And Russia also ruled out cutting fossil fuel usage. So
it's just bizarre, isn't it? You got one.
US
one
gets back on track. Yeah.
and the Russia goes, no, we're going to carry on building coal, burning power plants. Mm-hmm. And to round out the year, and of course it's not quite finished, in December we saw the worldwide second lockdown turn around in all these countries, and they set to ruin plans for people's Christmases and other celebrations that they do at this time of the year. And along with that, you know, very difficult situation, which is hitting us all where it hurts, really, at our hearts. The big retail and hospitality mouth is not working. End of 2020, it's broken. Big retail and hospitality companies have been calling in the administrators. So as much as the UK government, this is across the world, that all UK, we speak with knowledge more of the UK.
Who'd own a cruise line right now?
Who would? Or Topshop, or a big brand name like Jaeger, or things like that. They're all devastated by this, and the fact that people aren't buying, which is a good thing, because that's what we've been saying, is you
buy
what you need, buy less. We also set a challenge in the last few weeks to leave a review on the podcast. And we asked listeners to go to greenelephant.show site or go to their favorite podcast services and give us a review. And what did we get, Mike?
Well, we had a number of really interesting and amusing comments. Lots of really lovely, positive feedback. Enjoyed the suggestion that we should rename the show to the Blue Aardvark. Anybody that remembers the Pink Panther will know that one. But the winner of the competition and the best comment goes to kind of friend of the show, Geraldine. And it was the comment that she made that said, "The Green Elephant Podcast is the chats I wish I could have with my mates at the pub." And we love that one, and we thought it summed up the show nicely.
And what eco-friendly goodies are they going to get?
Well, we are going to reach out and get email contact details, find out T-shirt sizes for one thing, because an extra large might not fit. So we'll do that. We'll get them in the post along. There's a notebook and a bag and a mug and other bits and pieces. So look forward to receiving that soon.
Yeah, and seeing pictures of them wearing them.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that'd be great. So move on to the challenge checkup. We've been going for, what's that, five, six months now?
Yes.
It's a podcast, and we set some challenges. As we got further in, we realised that we needed to set some stretch targets, perhaps, for us to reach.
Did we realise, or were we bullied into it by our listeners? I think there was a certain amount of listeners saying, you should do that.
I think we started in it. Well, we started in October with that mental health awareness week, which was kind of prompted by, and not prompted, it was necessary, because during this lockdown has been a devastating impact on people suffering from loneliness and box fever if they can't get outside. And so I think there was the Do One Thing campaign with Mind, which was quite compelling. They weren't suggesting that you had to go campaign or you had to go volunteer at somewhere, or all they were saying is that if you posted something on your social media, and we pushed it because, as a podcast, we can hit a bigger audience. But, it could be that you just reach out to a friend and give them a call or chat to somebody you might be struggling. So I think that as much as the challenge was for October for us to be more aware of our own and people's mental health, it's good for carrying on.
Spreading awareness. Yeah. And then obviously in November we had Vivember.
Yay!
To coincide with World Vegan Month. And that was interesting, let's say. And we freely admit we failed. But we only partially failed. We largely went vegan, but we both had a couple of challenges. Yeah, I think I bought some pasta with a big green V on it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had eggs in. And you went somewhere with a buffet laid on, which was
I still like the freegan concept. Yeah. I think that's a good reasonable stance to take, is if you're going somewhere where the food is free, like a wedding or a funeral, then just accept what's available and don't expect to necessarily be rigid. But I think what it did teach me is it's quite an extreme position, veganism, isn't it? Vegetarianism perhaps is more achievable to the meat eater.
I think it just gave us an insight so that when we're discussing various sustainability issues and farming and plant-based meats and whatever else it is, we've got an appreciation of what it's like to be vegan now. Really useful.
And then this month we've been focusing on the sustainable seasonal shopping. I wonder why. You've made some quite some reasonable successes in that, and buying second hand and
bought locally, bought less, bought from B Corps, bought digitally, so there's no waste footprint. So we've done a number of things.
I think hopefully, and we've had some good things on Instagram and feedback from our herd.
Yes.
So next week's show, will we be hinting at future challenges we're going to look at in 2021?
We will be. We'll lay out a few things. Maybe we'll put them out to listeners to see which ones they like best. But yeah, there'll be more challenges coming up in 2021. Yeah, I mean,
we've got some stuff lined up. But of course, if you've got some ideas what we can do later in the year, then hey, bring it on.
We'd love the listeners to get involved as well. So we'll be looking for more people to join us on our challenges as we go into 2021.
Could end up being lonely otherwise, can it? Looking at recommendations recap, I dubbed this bit. We made a number of recommendations, and looking back on them, just wanted to have a quick look back at some different ones. You mentioned the Sustainable Development Goals from the UN and the fact that they released quite a strong website.
Yeah, they release reports and updates, but they've got an understanding sustainable development goals kind of page. It's kind of quite visual. It's got some graphics on it, but it really helps you if you're not, looking or thinking about these things all the time to understand what they are. Because again, through the year, we've seen more people adopting them. So we just suggested go and have a look at this page. It's really useful. And we'd still recommend you do that.
Yeah, I found, and they've released a page about the SDGs today. It's called, you can get to it from their site, and we'll put a link on the show page, of course. And that's got a whole stack of stats, some daily, some weekly, some annual, which are updated. But they do perhaps give a little bit more focus. So, you know, you say no poverty, but what does that mean? What is no poverty? Because what we think of no poverty in a developed Western world is not what poverty actually is, not extreme poverty. And you got, and the stats on there says 715 million live in extreme poverty at the moment. That's updated daily as to how many people are there. Interesting information all on the back of that. Recommend people have a look at it. And I think this one might have got away from, but I've dragged it in kicking and screaming as a recommendation to the end of the year, is the How Bad Are Bananas book, the carbon
certainly we've mentioned it numbers of times.
Oh yeah,
whether I've we've done a specific recommendation, we can't remember. Maybe we did.
No,
but yes, we certainly do recommend it though.
But it says it's the carbon footprint of everything, and it's by Mike Berners-Lee. I'd recommend you look at it. I just found what I was reading through, as I'm a good boy, reading the book, and it came across the one, because I had suffered a funeral, unfortunately, in this year, as it coincided.
That sounds like your own. I've suffered a funeral.
I suffered being at somebody else's funeral. And they do an interesting piece on here, and he says it's 410 kilograms of CO2 for a cremation, but 840 CO2 equivalent for a field burial. So it's far better to be cremated than to be buried. But it says he's obviously trying to make light of a very, very difficult subject. Treat yourself to whichever method takes your fancy. After all, you'll have just done the most carbon friendly thing possible.
So the most carbon friendly recommendation we can make is to not be alive. Fantastic. Talking about dying and not being here, one of the hardest hitting things this year, which we recommend as essential viewing, really, was Extinction, the Facts, which was a David Attenborough documentary broadcast on the BBC. Now, his documentaries are good, but this one was, you know, it was just eye-opening, and I think people universally sat there aghast, really, at the facts that were being presented, and the stark impact of what the human race is doing to the planet. So, yeah, that's still absolutely essential viewing for everybody to watch.
Hopefully it's available in many countries. It needs to be, because
sure
it was a very potent delivery. Had you in tears. And finally, I just might like to mention Rob Wolf, who's a fellow B Corp. Made Open is his company, and we interviewed him, and he gave us quite a heartfelt rendition or rundown of The Man Who Planted Trees by Jean Giono, maybe it is. Try and French that up.
Giono.
But it is a bit. I'm guessing he's French. I don't know. He is French. But that talks of a peasant who in theory would be insignificant. And it's a story of how he planted a forest, and it's just by whittling away stuff. And I think that was a good point and part of the advice.
Absolutely.
If just a little thing, a lot of little things makes a hell of a difference.
I mean, I just encourage the listeners to go back and look through the Green Elephant Show website, the archive of all the podcasts, because every show has the show notes, and there are loads more recommendations and reviews and stories across all the shows we've done. You know, we've reviewed YouTube channels, we've reviewed more books, we've reviewed websites and made recommendations about all manner of things. So they're not going anywhere. They're still on the site. Go and check them out, and those resources are there for good.
Right then. So I had a look back at all the advice that we'd handed out and all the advice that our herd had given us this year, that which I can...
broadcastable.
Don't want to upset anybody.
No.
A lot of the advice was go vegan, go vegan, go vegan, don't go vegan, which I remember I can quote from the top of my head.
Yeah.
So I thought to give you a top 15 rundown I try something new. So I just need to channel my inner Tony Blackburn. Well, here we go, and welcome to the Green Elephant Best Sustainability Advice of the Year 2020. And in at 15, everyone thinks of changing the world, but not everyone thinks of changing themselves. At 14, washing your car with a bucket and sponge will save up to 200 litres of water per wash. And at 13, waste isn't waste until we waste it. At 12, just discussing sustainability with someone else is the simplest form of activism. At 11, use the Ecosia search engine and plant trees as you browse the internet. And at 10, being an imperfect vegan is still better than doing nothing at all. At 9, and staying with veganism, if you're going to go vegan, don't think about food replacement, but new recipes. At 8, glass is a permanently recyclable, if you recycle it, of course. And at 7, volunteers have a 27% better chance of getting employed. Let's go with 6, reduce your carbon footprint by unsubscribing from email lists. And at 5, shop locally, find ethical products, avoid packaging and only buy what you need. At 4, simply reduce what you use, then reuse, repurpose and recycle. Here's the top 3, grow your own food and get healthier in the process. At 2, take time for yourself, in nature, away from technology, doing nothing. And at 1, ask not what your planet can do for you, ask what you can do for your planet. Well, that's it for 2020. He's looking forward to 2021. So any of those stick out to you, Mike, or any other pieces of advice that that you would insert
I think I quite like the waste isn't waste until you waste it. I think that's a good one, because how many times do we see even sustainability organizations saying, oh, you should buy this product, or you should go and do this, or you should, well, the most sustainable option is the one you've already got.
Or nothing at all if you don't need it and you only want it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I enjoyed putting that together. It was quite a good reflection on what we'd done over the year. So then, that brings me to fact or fake. So we've done 17 fact or fakes this year, and the scores are 3 of them were drawn, and once we realised that we could draw too regularly, we changed to 5 questions.
Yeah, so they can't be drawn.
Then we had 5 wins by Mike. You won last week. And 8 wins for me. So in points terms, I took each of the ones either way. It's still 31 to you and 41 to me. So I'm sorry, Mike. Well, I will call it my year, 2020.
Well, I'm trying to educate our listeners by presenting facts that will be interesting. I'm not worried about the victory. Doesn't bother me. Oh, honestly.
There speaks the loser. So I've got a set of questions for 2020. Okay. Fairly upbeat, or are they? Because it's fact.
Of course, next week, as we look forward to 2021, we're going to do... So Russell won between us two, but we're going to have a look at how successful the listeners were with fact or fake. And I think the results are extremely mixed. So, we'll look at that next time.
Oh, that'll be great. So let's give you a few facts or fakes. The Oceania Island states, Samoa and Vanuatu, are the only countries which have reported 0 cases of COVID. So that's Samoa and Vanuatu. Are they the only ones that have reported 0 cases of COVID?
Are they the only ones?
Well, not are they. They are the only ones. That's what I'm saying. Is that fact or is it fake?
I think that's fake.
Why?
I think there might be a few other tiny island states who've got nobody anywhere near them. South Georgia or something like that, or other places.
Well, funnily enough, there are no countries untouched.
Oh, are they? Oh, okay.
Those two were the bottom. I was a bit harsh. Samoa has had two out of a population of 199,000. And Vanuatu, out of 310,000, has had one. Okay. So, but they have had no deaths, which is great news.
I'm surprised there's... Yeah, wow.
Yeah, the world is... every place has been touched. Yeah. So that's one to you. Then... In 2020, global greenhouse gas emissions dropped by 6%, which is still under what is needed to meet the Paris Agreement target.
Across the whole year?
On average, yeah. I mean, it's forecast to, the greenhouse gas emissions, it's forecast to have dropped by 6%, which across the world, which is still under what is needed to meet the Paris Agreement.
Well, this is where we struggle with the fact thing, because I've seen in the course of doing this show over the 6 months, I've seen so many facts between 6% is one number I've seen, but I've also seen 30%. But it depends on the period you're taking and the geography you're taking as to what number you're going with. So,
and I'm going worldwide, 2020 as a whole,
6%. No, I'm going to say that's fake.
That's the fact.
It is 6%.
Yeah, although there were peaks of drops that we recorded in the UK and in other places, but the greenhouse gas emissions must be falling by 7.6% every year to control the global temperature. So we've already missed our target. It had to be done from 2020 onwards as well.
In a year when the economy was locked down, not working.
We had the biggest chance of a drop.
Yeah.
Okay. So, one each. Annual investment in renewable energy has risen by 312% in the last 15 years. Is that fact or fake?
Annual investment.
It's
fake. It's got to be more than that. 312% a year, but not 312% across the 15 years.
Unfortunately not. It was $88 billion a year in 2005 and $363 billion a year in 2019. And what's even more worrying is in 2020, it's dropped by 20%. So, presumably because just projects couldn't get off the ground or, other priorities took place, companies suffered. So it's good that we're investing more and more, but it's not risen as much as I expected it to. I was quite surprised. Okay, keeping on renewable energy, though, there are just three countries in the world which are 100% running on renewable energy.
Costa Rica. Sorry, carry on.
I'm saying nothing. There are just three countries in the world which are 100%.
Oh, okay, that was it. Well, I'm
not asking you to name them.
Okay.
there are just three countries in the world running on 100% renewable energy?
That sounds like it could be, 100%. I'm going to go with a fact. I think that could be a fact.
That's fake. Because there are eight.
Eight.
And some of these, you can understand why. Ethiopia, Lesotho, Albania, Bhutan, Paraguay, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Nepal, and Iceland. So... Not Costa Rica, not that I saw.
We'll make it nine. I've read a story about Costa Rica. I'm still wrong, but anyway.
The one I'll pull out is interesting. Bhutan is the first country to be carbon negative, which I thought was an interesting stat out of the back of that. They actually take more carbon out than they put in, which is brilliant news. You need more countries like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so... final one. Mackenzie Scott. Do you know who Mackenzie Scott is?
I've heard the name.
It's Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
Yes, that's where I've heard the name.
A significantly wealthy woman.
Yes.
Has donated $500 million a month for 4 months to food banks and emergency relief funds. $500 million a month for 4 months.
I'm going to say that's fake. I think she's probably donated like $1 billion a month or something because she's got so many billions, it doesn't matter.
Oh, you are good. You are good. You claw yourself back. Over 4 months, she's donated $4.2 billion.
Yeah.
That's a billion every 29 days. To put that in context, Warren Buffett, who's in the top three richest donates a billion every 126 days, and the Gates Foundation give a billion every 184 days. So she's
doing well.
To the top. She needs to keep that up.
She's giving it out quicker than she's earning it. Yeah.
Brilliant. And finally, and I wanted to end on a positive note because it's been a bit of a crappy year, do you think? And we always have the problem that the sustainability subject that we love and cherish tends to spout a litany of woe because we're always looking at ways to encourage people to change by telling them how bad it is or how bad it's going to be.
Yep.
What if we only told the positive stories of how things are getting better? So I'll kick off with regards to carbon emissions. Lockdown reduced carbon emissions by 17% worldwide. Now there's a problem, isn't it? And I put that in deliberately because it just doesn't work. You get one and one says the other.
Yeah.
Sales of eco-friendly cars overtook diesel for the first time as well.
Yeah, remember that one. And from a shopping grown front, lab-grown meat is now on sale. There are shops leading the way on pricing based on carbon footprints.
Yeah.
There are new packaging solutions now made out of sugarcane.
Brilliant. We've also had the news we mentioned earlier about China going carbon neutral by 2060, but they've also introduced a new law on single-use plastic reporting for companies, which is brilliant. And the US, as we said, and we'll salute this, are rejoining the Paris Agreement and looking to spend $2 trillion on climate change.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not all bad news on the business front either. So in the business world, the B Corporation certifications are growing. 3,600 companies now in 75 countries, all working as a force for good. One we discussed on the show, Prestige launch some plant-based pans, reducing use of metals. Bentley Motors are going all electric by 2030.
Woohoo!
Breathe launched an air filter which uses renewables to clean indoor air. IKEA will buy back your old furniture and refurbish it. ASOS is launching a circular fashion collection. And BrewDog are the first carbon negative beer brand in the world.
And they even make their employees carbon negative. I think
they do. Yeah,
very impressive leaders. At animals, we always liked our animal stories, didn't we?
Yep.
We saw a 30% rise in pink dolphins.
Yep.
We saw 30 new marine species found in the Galapagos.
Yep.
The highly endangered orange-bellied parrot. I'd say that slowly. Yep. He's growing in population at last. There was a lost chameleon found. After 100 years in Madagascar.
Yeah, I just see him with his phone and Google Maps, and he's going, well, they didn't do a very good job of mapping Madagascar. I can't find my way to the local supermarket.
And for 100 years, he finally makes his way back.
Right, yeah.
Tasmanian devils were also released back into Australia after 3,000 years, shall I say.
Yeah.
And the pygmy... a pygmy, there was a pygmy marmoset.
Yes.
Found on Kangaroo Island in Australia, having it being feared wiped out by the bushfires they had.
Mm.
So it is hard to focus on the good sometimes. And we're British. We always like having that stiff upper lip. But I think it is good to reflect that people are taking note now.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. We're at the thin end of the wedge, but that thin end is getting thicker every day.
Yeah, and I think what just starting this show as we did in July, and ourselves learning what it is to be sustainable, because it is not. It's not a single subject. It's massive.
Not easy,
we played around with the veganism, as we said before. We ourselves struggle on occasions with the difficulty of isolation, and just changing the way your business practice works can be quite difficult and stressful. We shop sustainably, and I think what I found is people are talking about it more. We talked to our neighbours and they're thinking more sustainably. And the older generation, as we said in a few shows ago, the older generation are leading the way on the millennials on doing stuff more sustainably.
Yeah, and I guess for me, the positive thing is reading what the listeners and our followers and so on say, because they always come up with something you hadn't thought of, or a different angle or a different perspective. So that's, it's been great.
They are enthusiastic bunch, aren't they?
Some of them may be just a little too enthusiastic.
Yeah,
we'll let you know if you need to tamp it down a bit, but yeah.
So if you've enjoyed the show, or in fact, even if you haven't, please do go to visit our show page at greenelephant.show, where you'll find links to all the stories we've discussed throughout the year, instructions on how to leave us a review, and links to find us on all the usual podcast providers. Please do go and visit and review us, as it helps us to continue and make the show better and keep you entertained. So we'll see you at greenelephant.show or on the social networks at greenellipod. But until next time, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a sustainable, whatever's left of 2020.